Amen. Should be listening. And the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Elder Chris Taylor, pastor of Antioch Church in Vero Beach, Florida. We're happy to have him back and pray the Lord a blessing this morning.
God bless you, brother. Appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll start reading from verse 21. I'd like to preach to you this morning on the subject of the Canaanite woman. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he, that is Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I could relate to the Canaanite woman. This story of the Canaanite woman we'll see smack in the middle of the two miracles of the bread and the fishes. We see the 5,000 are fed by five loaves of bread and a couple of fish. We see after the Canaanite woman's experience, the 4,000 are fed with seven loaves of bread and a few fishes. And right smack in the middle of those two big miracles, we have the Canaanite woman, and we read about bread again. Now, notice something about the Canaanite woman. She does not come to the Lord with any arrogance. She doesn't come with anger. She doesn't come with self-entitlement. She comes humbly. She is persistent. And she is desperate. She's desperate. She has nothing to lose. When she comes to the Lord, she doesn't come with this arrogant spirit, anything like that. She comes and says, Have mercy on me. Have mercy. What is mercy? We read a definition of mercy, that it is of compassion from one person to another, leniency from one person shown to another. But we see that it's much more than that. In Luke chapter 10, there came a lawyer trying to tempt our Savior. Never trust the lawyer, brother. He came he's telling him, telling him what the law was. The law was, love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord said, Do these and you do well. And willing to justify himself, he said, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, There's a certain man that came down from Jerusalem. Now, you always come down from Jerusalem. If you're going to Jerusalem, you go up to Jerusalem. When you leave home, you're always going down. When you leave the church, you're always going down. When you're going to church, you're always going up. When you're going home, you're always going up. This guy was leaving Jerusalem, so he's going down. And he fell among thieves. And he was robbed, and he was stripped of his clothing. He was beaten, and he was leaving half dead. And there he is lying on the road. And here comes the priest. The priest comes by and sees him lying and walks the other way. Oh, I don't want to get unclean. Don't want to get messed up here, violate the law. Here comes the Levite. And he sees the man half dead. And he walks on the other side of him and keeps going. But here comes the Samaritan, the half-breed. The one that this person, this lawyer, I'm sure looks down upon, and he takes this person. He pours wine into his wounds. He binds him up. He takes him to the inn. It says he took care of him. Took him to the inn, paid the inn owner and said, I'm leaving, and you take care of him now, and whatever he owes, I will repay. And Jesus Christ looked at the lawyer and says, which of these three was his neighbor? And the lawyer answered, the one that showed mercy. And the Lord said, thou hast answered correctly, go thou and do likewise. The recipient of mercy was helpless. The recipient of mercy was defenseless. He needed help, and this person gave more than leniency and compassion. He gave of himself. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He showed us more than leniency and compassion. He poured out himself. So that we could be saved from our sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about what we were like, what we are like. And he says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, with the great love wherein he loved us, and he saved us by his grace. And brethren, that's mercy. And the Canaanite woman, when she came to Jesus Christ, this outsider, by the way, this Gentile, comes to Jesus Christ and says, have mercy on me. Then she also says, oh Lord, and I don't even know what time I got started, brother. How much time do I got left?
About an hour.
She comes to the Lord and she says, O Lord, thou son of David. Notice that she addresses him by his messianic name. She says, I know you are the Messiah of the children of the Israelites. I know I have no rights. I know I'm not part of this nation. I know I'm outside of the house. I'm come from the wrong side of the tracks. I am unclean. I am not of the family. But you know what she is? She's desperate. And it's okay to be desperate. When you're desperate, you got nothing to lose. You got your back to a corner and you got nowhere else to go. It's okay to be desperate. Now let me ask you a question. Would you rather fight a big tough man, or would you rather fight a desperate man? See, a desperate man, see, I'd rather fight Brother JC than a desperate Mike Mitchell. You know why? Because a desperate man's got nothing to lose. He don't fight according to the rules. He'll scratch, he'll kick, he'll punch, he'll do anything because he's desperate. And that's what this woman is. She's desperate. She's got nothing to lose. Oh, Lord, thou son of David, the Messiah. She's desperate. Oh, would to God that we had some desperate primitive Baptists. Somebody that knew what they needed, knows what they've been delivered from, knows what it's like to dwell in thick Egyptian darkness and walk into the light. We need some desperate people. See, desperate people will come to church on Friday morning and listen to 9 preachers on Friday. they won't just come Sunday morning. They'll come Sunday night. They'll come Wednesday night. They'll come Saturday night for business meeting. Because they'll beat the doors down every time the doors are open because they're desperate. They know what they need, and they know the only person that can give it to them. Just like this Canaanite woman. Oh, Lord, thou son of David. Her daughter is grievously vexed. Can you picture that? Everything's going okay. Everything's going okay. Pretty good. Then her daughter starts acting a little funny. She don't need nothing when the daughter's healthy. Daughter's acting a little funny. Gets in the bed. She tries everything. She tries little home remedies. You know, maybe a little counseling can help. All they just need is love. Maybe the professionals need to get involved, the experts. Nothing's working. Everything she's tried, nothing is working. Have you ever been in this desperate situation? And I can relate because this is a child. It's not me that's got the problem. It's not another adult. It's a child, and it's your child. You would do anything to help that child. But everything you tried has failed. And what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go when your back is to the wall? When nothing in your background has prepared you for this moment, for this situation, for this tragedy, what are you going to do? Who do you go to? Are you desperate enough? She goes to the Lord, and he won't even talk to her. He won't even say a word to her. Won't even talk to her. And his disciples are trying to send her away. Send her away, for she crieth after us. He won't even talk to us. But then finally Jesus stops and he talks. And brothers and sisters, when Jesus talks to you, when Jesus talks to you, now, it may not be what you want to hear, but if Jesus finally talks to you, it's a wonderful thing. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not appropriate for me to minister unto you. You're not a part of my covenant people. That covenant means covering. You're not part of my covered people. It's just as if you went to an insurance agent and said, you know, pay me for this wreck when you didn't even buy the policy in the first place. It's not appropriate for me to minister unto you. You're not part of my people. Send her away. Don't even talk to her. You're not a part of us. You're different. You're not even in the house. But sisters, you ever been blessed outside of the house? I know some of you pious Christians never been outside the house before. I've been outside the house. And the Lord is gracious. And when you don't deserve it, he gives you a blessing. I've been blessed outside the house. And she's outside the house. Send her away. And what does she say next? She says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When you get in trouble, when you're faced with a situation where you don't have the tools to handle it, you've done everything you know you could do or supposed to do, and it's not helping. Your back is against the wall. You ever been in that situation? If you haven't, just keep on living. Just keep on living. And you will. And you're going to face something that'll shake you to your core and take you to your knees. And you need to pray. And brother, when you get in that situation, you're not going to need to read a book on prayer. You're not going to need to take a class on prayer. You're not going to need to look up the Greek lexicon and say, what are the derivatives of prayer? You're just going to open your mouth and it's just going to fly out. Help! Yeah. You ever prayed that prayer? Yeah. Help! You know, you don't need any flowery prayers. Oh, Lord, if I just touch the blue hem of your garment. Help! I prayed that, brother. Can you imagine King David? When his baby was sick and dying, I love that the Bible is so beautiful. He laid himself on the earth. laid himself on the earth all night, refused bread, refused drink, refused any kind of comfort whatsoever. And he stayed that way all night long. Then they gave him the news. The baby had passed. He got up, changed his raiment, washed his face, and went into the house of the Lord. But don't you think that was his prayer laying on that ground? Help. Help. And this is the Canaanite woman's prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need you like I never needed you before. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Should have never said that to me now. He just called me a dog. Shouldn't she have been offended? Man, we get offended all the time. I look at somebody crossways, they get offended. He should have never called me that. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Theologically speaking, he says, you're a Gentile. You have no covenant with me. You know, you have no covering. She called it, it's okay to be called a dog sometimes. You ever played tug of war with a dog? Have it one side of the rope and you're grabbing the other? They just won't let go. That's like this Canaanite woman, man. She sunk her teeth into this and she's not going to let go. She was ignored. She was told to go away. She was insulted. But she stayed and she was not offended. She just keeps on going and going. She's, you know what, Caleb, I love that Old Testament figure of Caleb. You know what his name means? It can either mean heart or it can mean dog. Now the spies that went into the land, they came back with the same report. They're giants in the land. There's walled cities. But the false witnesses, the false spies said, we cannot take the land. But Caleb says, we are well able to take it. In fact, let's don't waste any time. Let's go right now. Let's go. Caleb was loyal. How about Gideon? Gideon had 10,000 people. And the Lord said, that's too many. Go to the water and drink. And there was 300 that lapped water like a dog. You ever thought about that? What they must have looked like? Those are strange individuals, lapping water like a dog. But you know, the Lord doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have use for the fancy people, for the cute people. He wants those that are desperate, those that are dogs, those that will sink their teeth in, that won't let go, those that won't be offended, but they're trudging on in the service of the Lord. The Canaanite woman. And how did the woman respond? Man, she's sharp. She is so sharp. She says, truth, Lord. In fact, she didn't take offense. She says, that's right. Truth, Lord. But the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, man, she's sharp. Oh, she's sharp. She won't let go. Now, what's she saying here? She said, I know I'm outside the house. I'm not part of the children. I'm outside the covenants. And I haven't been in the presence of the Son of God too long. I don't know him too well. But I do know his children. I've hung out with his children. And you know, brothers and sisters, they've got the whole loaf. You know what happens when you get too plenty? When you got a lot? When you got more than enough? What happens when you do that? You take it for granted, don't you? You take it for granted. This Canaanite woman, this scrapper, this desperate woman, she didn't need the whole loaf. He says, Lord, your children can have the whole loaf. Just give me a crumb. They can have all the bread they want, but you just give me one crumb and And watch what I do with one crumb. That's all she needs. You know, that crumb has the same chemical makeup as the whole loaf.
Yeah. Yeah.
All she needs is the crumb. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's all we need, brothers and sisters. You know, we're always looking at what we don't have rather than what we have. We're always looking at what we have lost rather than what we have left. The Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. Brethren, all you need is a crumb. All you need is one crumb to fall from the master's table, and that is a sufficiency. This woman's faith was so great, she knew that. Yea, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Just give me a crumb and watch me go. Just give me a crumb. Don't look at what you have lost, but look at what you have left. And what you have, brothers and sisters, you can use to His glory. I'm going to finish right here. I don't know how much time I used. I didn't check the clock, see when it started. Brothers and sisters, don't belittle what you have. If you got the Lord, that's all you need.
Amen.
Greater is He than within us than is in the world.
Yeah.
All I got is a little lamp and a trumpet.
Yeah.
Use it for His glory.
Amen.
Lord, they've got the saucers and the musicians, and all I got is this little staff. Use it for His glory. Lord, I've got nothing but this brand new dead donkey on the side of the road. And there's 1,000 Philistines out there. What does Samson do? He took that, and that's a new jawbone of an ass. You know what that meant? It meant it was juicy. All he had was the jawbone of an ass, but he said, Lord, I don't have much, but I'm going to use it for Your glory.
Amen.
And he slew 1,000 Philistines. Let me ask you a question. How do you slay 1,000 Philistines with one jawbone of an ass? You do it one at a time, right? Can you picture it? Can you picture it? There's Samson with one jawbone. Here comes Philistines. And it says, if you read the account, it says he killed them heap upon heap.
Yeah.
If you've got a good old English Bible, look in the middle column, it'll say two heaps, two piles. Now, brothers and sisters, think about this when you see this insurmountable problem, this tragedy in your life. Here comes Samson. He's got an insurmountable problem. He's got 1,000 Philistines lined up against him. He's got a jawbone. What does he do? He takes one and throws it behind him. Takes another and throws it behind him. And after a while, guess what? The heap, the pile in the back starts to get larger than the pile in front of you. My mother's sitting right back there, and she gave me a great piece of advice that I've taken through life, and I'm passing it down to my son because he's struggling with some decisions he has to make in life. Here it is. Life by the yard is hard, but life by the inch is a cinch. Brothers and sisters, take that jawbone, take what the Lord has given you, start slaying those Philistines, grab them one and throw them behind you, grab one and throw them behind you, and pretty soon, brothers and sisters, that pile in back of you is going to be bigger than the pile in front of you. The story of the Canaanite woman. Thank you.